Thanks for joining us for another inspiring message from Alive Church, Orange County. To find out more information about Alive Church, please visit alivechurchoc.org. You can also follow us on your favorite social media platform by typing in Alive Church OC.
But I want to say this before I get started. You know, it was really a blessing to be in Singapore. And one of the things that I feel like that keeps standing out to me is kingdom. You know, when we put on the This Is Me conference here, it's a church conference. Everybody in the church pulls together and we do this. But in Singapore, it's multiple people from different churches. Who have caught the vision of our pastors. They host it, they serve, they work on the ground to get the people there because they want to see people free, delivered, healed, and whole. And so I was just so humbled, and I was so privileged that I was able to go and serve alongside them, see what the kingdom at action looks like, and see what the Lord is doing for the people in Singapore. Amen? Amen. But I want to say this. Not only is God doing stuff in Singapore, he's doing great things here. We have a couple of testimonies. The first one is George. George was invited to church by Pastor Derek and Pastor Susan. And on last week, he went to Connect Group. He's been reading Pastor Derek's book and wanted to know about the Holy Spirit. Started asking questions about the Holy Spirit and then wanted to get filled. And so during Connect Group, the people got together, prayed with him, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen, amen. The next one, Erin. Erin has been, it's Pastor Derek and Susan's daughter, for those who don't know. But she's been looking to transition jobs after working at Press, one of my favorite places, for quite some time. And God opened a door for her to work in the business field, which is her college major. And so this new job has higher pay, it's remote, and it is perfect as she heads into her final year of college. So she gets to start this job when she comes back home for Singapore. So praise God for opening the right door at the right time. And then last but not least, Sophia. Sophia, I tell Sophia, she is the queen of testimony. God is always doing great things in her and Sean's life. But I want to share just a couple of things that are happening in their lives. First of all, Sophia received Employee Excellence Award for leadership for quarter two at her job. She also, not too long ago, she and Sean were in a car accident, and they were in negotiations for the repair of their car, for all of the bills that they had for insurance and all of those things. And they got four times the amount that they were negotiating for. Yes, yes, yes. And then all of a sudden, an old university friend and her husband unexpectedly blessed Sean and Sophia with $2,000 cash, and they ended up donating that to the Legacy Church Building Fund. Amen. And so God continues to surprise us. He continues to bless the people of God. And so just want to say praise God for all of the things that he's doing in the house. And so I am going to get into this word. I have been, the Lord has had me in 1st and 2nd Kings. It's been almost 3 years. I've been reading other books, but this was a book that he assigned me to read. I was on my way to Houston for a week, and I was in the airport, and a lot of times I like to pick up a book in the airport and read while I'm away. And so I was in one of the stores in the airport looking for a book, and I heard the Lord said, no, I want you to read 1 and 2 Kings. And so I've been reading it over and over and over again, and God has really been speaking, giving revelation. But while I was in Singapore in a church service during worship, the Lord said it's time to release the word. And so the word today is transformation, the key that unlocks the calling. And so I want to start with this first scripture that I believe to be the scripture that is the foundation of this message. And it's Romans 12 and 2. And if you could read the scripture with me on the count of three. 1, 2, and 3. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And you know, amen, you know, we read that scripture often, but I want to break it down just a little bit before I get into the message. In this particular scripture, transform implies a change of conduct, a change of character, a change of thought process. And this transformation, according to this scripture, is achieved through renewing of the mind. That means an continuous process of spiritual growth and spiritual understanding. And renewing the mind requires us to submerge ourselves in the Word of God, in prayer, as well as the leading of the Holy Spirit. Why? So that our thoughts are aligned with God's truth that is in His Word. And so the scripture also goes on to say, not only why do we need to renew our mind? It is so that we will know what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. That is so that we are able to discern God's will for our lives. So we are in a cycle of time right now. And if many of you have been following different pastors and prophets, many people are talking about the prophetic timeline, the coming, the return of Christ. Over and over again, we are hearing that Christ is coming soon. And many believers are trying to find their place. They're trying to find out what is their assignment. They're trying to find out what is their place of purpose. And as a believer, we have a role to play in the coming of Christ. We really have, it's a two-part role that we have to play. The first one we find in Matthew 28:18. 18 through 20, where this scripture is when after Jesus is resurrected and now appears to the disciples. And it says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That is the mandate for all believers. But at the same time, each of us have been created for a specific purpose. We've been created for a specific calling. We play. Many of us have a specific mission, a specific role that we were created to fulfill in the earth. And the way we are able to discern that, what that is through transformation. The renewing of our minds in the Word of God so that we are able to discern our calling. So that we are able to walk fully with the anointing and the authority of God through transformation. I'm gonna say again, transformation is the key to unlocking your calling. And so today I wanna talk about the calling. I wanna talk about that weighty thing the weighty sacred assignment that God places on the life of a believer that requires transformation, not perfection, but it requires transformation. It requires us going through the process of transformation to become more like Christ. And you know what? In having conversations with different people, when you talk to them about their calling, oftentimes they talk about what they aspire to do. They talk to you about their talents, their gifts, and all of these things. But very rarely do we talk about the process of transformation, the process that we go through in becoming more like Christ. And you know what? I don't think, you know, when I talk about that, I'm talking about the thing that we go to where we have to die to certain things, the things that we go through that we're even sometimes still struggling to die to. Many people don't talk about those things. But the process of transformation is less likely part of our conversations. But you know what? I want to tell you this. We need to start talking about that. People need to know what we go through for God to prepare us for our assignment. What we go through, because oftentimes people see people that have been promoted or on the job and different things, but they don't know the journey that it took to get there. So we need to talk about that. And you know what? I don't think people understand the love that God has for us, that he would even take us through a journey of transformation, a journey of being processed, a journey of being shaped, a journey of being refined, a journey of being molded so that we can carry the call of God on our lives. And so I want to share with you why transformation is essential, as well as the dangers of avoiding the process of transformation while trying to lay hold of your assignment. You know, many of us, we are in an apostolic prophetic house where the Lord is always speaking to us. And many of us have had the opportunity to get a word of the Lord for the very thing that he has created us to do. And when we hear all of these great things that God is calling us to do, we want to lay hold of it right then and there without going through the process that is needed to carry that thing. We seldom talk about what happens when you try to walk in the call of God on your life prematurely, when you try to flow in a makeshift anointing, or even lay hold of an assignment that you were never transformed enough to carry. And then I want to say this even before I go any further. This is a strong word. Get ready. If I step on some toes, stay out, say ouch, but stay locked in. Because this is a word of the Lord for you. God would not have me sitting in these books if he did not know we needed this to go to the next level. We're in the process of transition, and God is trying to get his people ready for the call of God for which he has created you to do. But it takes us going through a process of transformation. And so I want to take you into the life of a man by the name of Adoniah. And he is by far not a popular Bible character. His story is not one that is glamorous. It is not a story like the woman at the well or Lazarus being raised up from the dead. It is nothing like Job's glorious restoration story. It is nothing like the woman with the issue of blood. But Adoniah's story is very important because it shows us why transformation is necessary to fulfill God's assignment on our life. And so when looking at the life of Adoniah, it is important to note that Adoniah did not lack opportunity. He didn't lack connection. He did not lack charisma because he had the gift of gab. He could, he knew what to say, how to say it, when to say it. But what Adonijah lacked was transformation. And so who was Adonijah? Adonijah was the fourth son of King David. And by the time we find him in scripture, he is the oldest living son. Because his brothers before him, a couple of them had died, gotten killed, and one had passed away. But in Adonijah's mind, by the process of elimination, not by the call of God, not by divine appointment, not by the prophetic word spoken over his life, Adonijah finds himself next in line to be king. And scripture describes him, like very short description of Adonijah. The description of him is that he's good looking and he was born after Absalom. That's all they say about him. It does not say he's anointed. It does not say he's chosen. It says he's good looking and next in birth order. And that is the entire qualification that Adonijah thought he needed to lay hold of the kingship. And so I want to set the record straight in here. Can I do that?
Yes.
Position in the family is not the same as position in the will of God. Proximity is not the same as purpose. And Adonijah's father, David, King David knew this all too well. Because if you know the story of King David, when Samuel came to Jesse's house, King David's father's house, looking to anoint a king, he was the least likely. They presented all of his brothers while he was sitting in the field tending the sheep. David did not inherit the throne by birth order. David himself inherited because he was processed. Because he had gone through a time of being processed and transformed for the throne. For years, God was refining his character in the fields while he was tending the sheep in the cave of Adullam. When he was trying to flee Saul, he was shaping his character through a process of transformation before David ever held the crown. And the thing about it is, Adonijah watched David become king, but he did not get to see the process that it took for David to get there. Adonijah liked what he saw in the kingship, and he wanted the throne without transformation. And you know, I see that all the time. We see it in ministry. We see it on our jobs where people, maybe you've been there for 9 years and somebody else comes in and they've only been there for 3 years, and then you see them get promoted and you're wondering why. I've been coming to work every day for 9 years, and here it is. This joker steps in, gets promoted, and I get looked over. But what we don't realize is that the Lord sees the cracks in our character, the things that other people don't see. And so I think that this is true even today. We see the lights, we see the stages, we think that people have arrived, but we don't see the journey it took to get there. No one talks about the process. But like I said, we need to start talking about that, how God perfected the fruit of the Spirit, how God shaped our character, how God corrected us and chastened us, how he exposed the motive in our hearts and the issues in our life. We need to start talking about those things, about the real boot camp that prepares us for the call of God on our lives. And so the next scripture is really critical. It's a really critical point in Adonijah's story because I believe that it contributes to who he is as a person. And so before I read this scripture, I need every parent, every spiritual parent, every leader, that God has allowed to have authority over another person, whether it be in church or in the marketplace. The Bible says in 1 Kings 1:6, this is talking about Adonijah and King David. It says his father had never rebuked him by asking, "Why do you behave as you do?" Adonijah's character had never been addressed. Nobody confronted his entitlement. David never said to him, "Son, just because you're next in line, that does not mean that you're ready." And an undisciplined, unaddressed character does not disappear. It grows. It compounds. It grows roots. And eventually it produces fruit. And the fruit is pride and rebellion. And because of that, Adonijah felt entitled. And I want you to look at what entitlement produced in Adonijah. I want to set the scene for you of what is going on during this time. During this time, King David, the Bible alludes to that he is now very old. He's bedridden and he's very ill. And during this time, and the Lord had spoken and said that Adonijah's brother Solomon would succeed David as king. Now, Adonijah knew this. But even knowing this, what he does next is mind-blowing. The Bible says that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, "I will be king." Because in his mind, birth order made him deserving of the crown. He didn't heed the word of the Lord. He didn't consult King David. He exalted himself. And we know what scripture says: whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Adonijah tried to do God's job by exalting himself instead of waiting for God to exalt him for the purpose of God that was on his life. Instead, he wanted what belonged to another. And when character is never addressed, when no one is allowed to ask you, "Why have you done so?" you begin to believe your own hype. You begin to believe that what you want is what you deserve. And this danger, I need you to hear, unaddressed character does not stay dormant. It eventually demands a throne. That's how, why oftentimes you see people jumping from this church to this church, especially those that know they have a great call on their lives, because if I can't get the throne here, I'm going to go somewhere else to get it. That's why oftentimes you see people jumping from job to job, because if I can't get my throne here, I'm going to go somewhere else to get it. But like I said, they don't realize that the cracks in their character is visible. And so the Bible says Adonijah exalts himself as king. He confers with a couple of people. The Bible says he consults some people, but he doesn't consult the prophet Nathan, who carried weight in that area. He did not consult Zadok the priest, who served at the Ark of the Covenant, who was close to God. He did not consult Benaniah, the mighty man who walked closest to God's heart in matters of justice. What he did was he gathered the people who would agree with him, and he excluded the people who would hold him accountable. And that is always the pattern when a person is trying to lay hold of an assignment they were not given. They surround themselves with yes men and avoid the prophetic voice. And so the Bible says that Adonijah threw himself a celebration. It says that he started inviting people. He killed oxen. He killed fatlings. He had a party for himself because he presumed that he was going to be king in spite of what the Lord said. And his presumption was dressed up as confidence. They said, the Bible says he went out on a horse, on a donkey, and he had all these people following him. He gathered people. It's something when you got to invite people to celebrate you. He invited all these people to celebrate his mess because it was a mess. And so while he was doing this, this is the tragic irony about that. While he was doing that, Nathan the prophet and Bathsheba, Solomon's mom, had gone to David to tell him what was going on. They told him that Adonijah was out there feasting and partying, and he had made himself king. And so David tells them, get my horse, put Solomon on it, and go and anoint him. And this is what I love about this scripture. It says, all the people went up after him. He didn't have to invite nobody. They saw the call of God on his life and went to celebrate what God was doing. It says, all the people went up after him, and the people were playing the flutes and rejoicing with great joy, so much so that the earth shook because of their celebration. And so while Adonijah was celebrating a counterfeit coronation, the real coronation was happening somewhere else. I want you to tell somebody, your turn is coming. There is a sound of celebration that means nothing because it was never sanctioned by heaven. You can throw the party, you can gather the crowd, you can sacrifice the sheep and the oxen, but if God did not ordain it, the sound of your celebration will be drowned out by the sound of God's true anointing falling on someone else. When Adonijah did this, Solomon could have put him to death right then. But because Solomon's life was transformed, he showed him mercy. And this is how God is even with us. Even when we start getting out of order and out of line, God gives us an opportunity to get things right. And so Adonijah's failed attempt to take the throne, even with that, Solomon still showed him mercy. But that wasn't good enough for Adonijah. He still was not satisfied, even though God had spared his life. The Bible says that Solomon warns him and says, if he will show himself to be a worthy man, not one of his hairs will fall to the ground, but if wickedness is found in him, he will die. And Solomon sends him home, and Adonijah's life was spared. This was a turning point for him. This was the opportunity that he could have actually gone through the process of transformation. This was the opportunity where he could have humbled himself and allowed his character to finally be shaped, to prove himself a worthy man. Transformation was being offered to him in the form of mercy and a second chance. But watch what happens in the next chapter. Instead of seizing the opportunity to allow God to process him, the Bible says that Adonijah went to Bathsheba. And he asked Bathsheba to request the hand of the young lady that was caring for David up until his death. And the reason why he did this, because in that time, if you could gain the king's concubine, that was symbolic of a claim to the throne.
So Adonijah didn't use his second chance to change. What he did was he used this second chance to make another attempt at the throne. He was so hungry for position. He was so hungry for the throne. He was willing to take anything that resembled it. This is the danger of unaddressed character. It doesn't learn from mercy. It doesn't interpret the second chance as an invitation to transform, but it interprets a second chance as an opportunity to try a little harder, to be a little smarter, to navigate quieter, to be more cunning in their exploits. When Adonijah did this, it showed Solomon immediately that his character had not changed. And unfortunately, in that time, the Bible says Solomon's response was swift. He said, put him to death today. Don't wait another day. Put him to death today. Why? Because it was dangerous to have him so close and his character had not changed. He could have destroyed the kingdom. The same man that said, I will be king, died because of requests for a woman's hand that exposed his heart, that his heart had not changed. The mantle he tried to seize without transformation became the very thing that destroyed him. Let me tell you, for David, it was 15 years. 15 years between the anointing and the assignment. It was 15 years between the process, the promise, and the position. For Elisha, he did not ask Elijah for the mantle the day he met him. But what he did do, the Bible said he spent years pouring water on Elijah's hands, following him, serving him, watching him, being shaped by Elijah's life. And by the time the mantle fell on Elijah, he was already ready because he had been transformed into the man who could carry it. The mantle did not transform Elijah. The transformation qualified him for the call. If you look at Joseph, before Pharaoh placed his ring on Joseph's life, Joseph went through the pit. He went through betrayal. He went through slavery. He went through false accusation. He went through a stint in prison. But the Bible says of Joseph, until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. What is God testing in your life? To get you ready for the call of God. The palace didn't make Joseph ready. The process of transformation made Joseph ready, and the palace simply revealed what the process had already produced in him. That was the difference between David and Adonijah. David was willing to be processed, but Adonijah wanted to go straight to the palace. I think the most bold and courageous and yet most vulnerable and humble ask that David could have done to God was found in Psalm 139, where he says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me to the way everlasting. David desired transformation. And if you read David's story, David was not a perfect man, but David desired to be desired that his life would be pleasing to God. So I want to encourage you, don't knock the process. Don't forsake your life's journey, your life circumstances, your hardship, because it's in the most unexpected places. It is in the most difficult times in your life that God uses to prepare and bring transformation that readies you for your calling, the call of God on your life. And I want to say to you, this is where the enemy really trips us up. He blinds us to the process of transformation by pointing his finger, saying, look what you did, or look what you used to do, or he continuously replays the things that you have gone through in your life, magnifying your misfortunes and all of that to the point where you can't even see the process in the hand of God and what he has been doing to mold and shape you in the hard place. And when you are unable to see that, you can't celebrate the victory. Why? Because you're still stuck in what happened in your childhood. You're still stuck in the things that happened yesterday. But let me tell you, if you are here today still standing, that means that God pulled you out of the hard place and you have the victory. And that's a reason to celebrate. Last I heard, the Bible says that we wake up with new mercies. And so because I wake up with new mercies, I wake up every day celebrating. Because I know I'm not where I used to be, and I know I'm not who I used to be. Thank you, God. You know, just recently I had a conversation with this lady that has this organizations. She's the head of this organization that has women leaders. And she called me up because she saw me speaking at another event. And she wanted me to come in, do some workshops for them and all of that. Because she felt like there was something down on the inside that the women in her leadership academy needed. And so she wanted to know my story. And so I just gave her like some little glimpses of things that I walked through. But in doing that, I realized in that moment that everything I endured from childhood until now was preparation for the call of God on my life. Had I not gone through the hard place, had I not gone through the crushing, there would be no oil. There would be no capacity. There would be no compassion. There would be no humility. There would be no transformation. You know, in our Connect group last week, we were talking about calling and assignment and where people felt like they were and what's stopping them from walking in the call and all of those things, and what do they feel like they're called to? And this one person in the room said this. She said that what she felt like she was called to do was to help people who had church hurt. Now, everybody in the room does not know her story, but I know just a bit of the story. I know that how her and her husband walked through church hurt. Walk through accusation, walk through betrayal from leaders that they trusted. And she didn't sit in bitterness. She didn't sit in resentment, but God used her hard place to put a passion in her to help other people who have gone through church hurt. Do not forsake your hard place. Because if you look closely, the very thing you went through is the thing that you have a passion to do for others. The lady that I talked to, I told her, I have been through every trauma a woman could ever go through. And I understand it now. Had I not gone through that, I could not help other women get through. So I thank God for the hard place because he gave me the strength to endure. I'm able to help other women go through the process faster. I want to talk about this. Three reasons. Transformation is essential before carrying the call. And I want to say this before I say this. Our transformation process is not always pretty. But it's necessary for the calling. It's necessary for the anointing of God to flow in your life. So I say again, don't forsake your heart place. Transformation aligns your character with your calling. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit." The calling requires a certain character to sustain it. Your gift can put you in the room, but your character cannot keep you in. Remember, Adonijah had the bloodline, he had the looks, he had the connections, he could pull a crowd, but his character was never shaped enough to match the weight of the throne. Transformation is God aligning you, who you are, with what you are called to carry, so your assignment does not expose what the transformation process was supposed to fix. God will not give you an assignment your character cannot sustain. But if you push your way into it anyway, the assignment itself will expose you. I want you to know that your transformation is your protection. Number two, transformation builds capacity so that you can endure the weight of the call. We see in James 1, 2, and 4, it says, "Consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." A calling is not light. Leadership is not light. Ministry is not light. The reason God takes us through trials before he hands us the assignment is because the trials build our spiritual muscle that is required to carry the calling without collapsing. Joseph's pit built the capacity that Joseph's palace required. David's wilderness built the capacity that David's throne required. So don't skip the process of transformation. You will receive the, because if you do, you will receive the assignment without the muscle, and you will buckle under what was meant to be your greatest blessing. Lastly, transformation produces the humility that protects the calling. Philippians 2 and 9 says, "For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name." What was the reason? We see it in verse 8. It says, it's talking about Jesus, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even on the cross." This describes Christ, who emptied himself, who humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Even Jesus, the Son of God, walked a road of humility before his exaltation. So you need to know that exaltation is followed by humility. It doesn't precede it. And transformation produces in you a humility that says, "I'm going to wait on God to lift me up rather than lifting myself up." And that same humility then becomes a guardrail for your assignment, protecting you from the pride that destroyed Adonijah, the pride that says, "I deserve it, and I deserve it now." Humility is not a weakness. Humility is a safeguard that keeps our calling from becoming our downfall. Next, I want to talk about the three dangers, because this is so important. I think oftentimes we don't really see how dangerous it is trying to lay hold of the assignment of God before we're ready. The first one is the danger of presumption. Remember, Adonijah said, "I will be king," a self-declaration, not a divine appointment. We see in Hebrews 5:4, it says, "And no one takes the honor for himself, but receives it when he is called by God, just as Aaron also was." When transformation is bypassed, presumption now rises up to fill the gap, and then we begin to believe that proximity, seniority, talent, or even family connection entitles us to the position God never assigned us to take. Presumption always shows itself up as confident, but it's rooted in entitlement, not in calling. And presumption will always overreach because it was never anchored to a true word from God in the first place. The danger is this: presumption will hand you a crown that heaven never authorized. And a crown without divine authorization cannot be sustained. The second one, the danger of premature exposure. When Adonijah finally had his moment, surrounded by loyalty he had purchased rather than earned through character, the cracks were already visible. He excluded the prophetic voices. He rushed the celebration. He could not wait on God's timing, and every flaw that should have been addressed in private got exposed in public. I never forget, at our old church, there was this young man who was on fire for God. He was young. He was an awesome preacher. He was a man of the word, but he had some cracks in his character. And I never forget, they were looking at him to become youth pastor. And I don't know, God had given me a burden for him, so I had taken him on, I would pray for him, all of these things. And before they were, you know, when they started talking about that, I started to challenge the cracks that I saw, because I loved him more and the call of God on his life than his feelings. And I knew, had these things not been addressed, it would take him out. So I began to challenge him. I talked to the pastor about him and told him what I saw. And they sat him down for a season. Until today, he thanks me because he said, "I saved his life and his ministry." He is married with children, an ordained pastor, and doing wonders for the kingdom of God. What made the difference? Because when he was seated, he humbled himself. He didn't get mad. He didn't get bitter. He did not hold resentment because his promotion was yanked back. But he humbled himself under the mighty hand of God and waited for God to lift him. Amen. This word is a strong word, but it is an important one. And I'll tell you why. Because if you remember, a couple of months ago, the Lord gave me a word for the house. And he spoke about assignments. And he said that he was going to be releasing assignments. He was going to be taking an assignment from one and placing it on another to give this one a second chance to get it right. A second chance to humble themselves, to go through the process of God, to carry the assignment. And I believe that this word the Lord gave me is because he's ready to release assignments. But he understands that if the process of transformation does not happen, then you can't receive the assignment. Let me tell you, I'll never forget. I was at a meeting, and I was sharing something what the Lord was calling me to, and I was struggling with it. And I remember that lady told me, if you don't do it, God will give it to another, because his work is going to get done. And that put a fear in my heart. He'll take it and give it to another? I better get about my Father's business and do what he's asking me to do and stop playing around. Because let me tell you, sometimes it'll get in the wrong hands. Somebody else will grab hold to it that God never even ordained to pick it up. And that's the last thing we need in the kingdom, is that we're sitting around, piddling around, playing around, and not doing what God is asking us to do. And then somebody else comes up and picks it up that is still not qualified because they have not gone through the process of transformation. That should do something to us. Because we want to fulfill the purpose of God on our lives. Every flaw that should have been addressed, like I said, in private, got exposed in public. The Bible says in Luke 12:2, but there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not become made known. You could dress nice, have your makeup done right, hair laid to the side, and be a mess on the inside. And everybody in this room may not be able to see it, but God sees. God knows what you're doing in private. He hears your private conversations. And so when things don't happen the way we want it to happen, we blame the people. Not realizing God sees what you got going on. And he's waiting for you to humble yourself, work alongside the Holy Spirit to be able to go through the transformation process to carry the call. A calling is a platform, and a platform amplifies whatever is already in you, good or bad. So if pride is in you, the calling will amplify pride. If insecurity is in you, the calling will amplify insecurity. If your character was never addressed, the calling does not hide that. The calling now puts it on display for everyone to see. The next is the danger of self-destruction. Adonijah didn't just lose the throne, he lost his life. The very thing he tried to take by force became the instrument of his own undoing. Galatians 6 and 7 warns us, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. When you carry an assignment without the spiritual maturity to sustain it, you do not just risk embarrassment, you risk destruction. I've seen marriages collapse under the weight of leadership because the person was never mature enough to carry it. I've seen ministries implode under the weight of platforms because the leader was never humbled enough to steward it. I've seen businesses crumble under the weight of authority because the owner was never disciplined enough to handle it. An assignment carried without transformation does not just fail to bless you, it becomes the very weapon that takes you out. Will you let God process you? Some of you in this room are standing exactly where Adonijah stood. You see the position, You know the calling. You feel like you've earned it by tenure, by talent, by family name, by simply being next. And maybe nobody around you has ever stopped to ask you, why have you done so? Nobody has confronted what needs to be confronted in your character. So today, let me be the one to ask you the question. Has your character actually been addressed? Or has it gone unchallenged? The good news is that you're not disqualified. You're not too far gone. The same God who anointed David in a field and matured him for 15 years before the throne, the same God that took Joseph through the pit and a prison before a palace, that same God is willing to take you through the process of transformation if you will surrender to it. 1 Peter 5 and 6 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God so that he may exalt you at the proper time. Did you catch that? He will exalt you at the proper time. Not your time, not the time you feel entitled to. His time after the process of transformation has done its work in you. The assignment is coming. I've heard God speak some words over y'all life. The assignment is coming. I believe that. I believe that God has major assignments, platforms, and positions prepared for everyone in this room. But before you grab it, before you exalt yourself, let me ask you to do one simple thing. Let God do the work. Let God finish the work in you. Let him address what needs to be addressed. Can I have the music ministry up? Let him address what needs to be addressed. Let him process what needs to be processed. Let him transform what needs to be transformed, because a calling carried by a transformed vessel will bring glory to God and life to everyone that needs what you have. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I urge you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Don't let the mantle, don't take the mantle. Let the mantle be given to you. After the refining, after the transformation, after the pruning, after the molding, after the shaping, this is so important. You know, when you're in the throes of it, you don't see it, you don't get it. Many times when I was in the throes of processing as God was transforming me, many times I cried out to God, why me? Why do I have to go through all of these things? But let me tell you, I would not give up my journey for nothing. I've seen what my testimony has done in the lives of women. I've seen how people, women, have been delivered and healed because I endured the process. Because I humbled myself under the mighty hand of God. Because I didn't give up and turn around and say, I'm not gonna do this. No, no, no. I kept my eyes on God and I kept walking. I'll never forget at the beginning of the year, I was in the throes of it. And I remember sitting on the couch and I said, Lord, when am I going to come out of the fire? He said, Amanda, I'm in the fire with you. Just keep walking. You're not going to stay in the fire. Just keep walking. I'm walking you through the fire. Is there an assignment that you've been trying to seize instead of receive? Is there something in your character that God's been trying to address and you keep avoiding? You know, I would call up the ministers to pray for you and all of that, but this takes nothing but a decision between you and God. I never forget, I was battling control. And I came, and God was putting his finger on that thing. Woo! And I came to church that Sunday and I was a hot mess. I could not shake it. I did not want to give up control. I had been controlling all my life. Controlling was my protection. But God said it was time for me to surrender that thing. And I came to church. I was a mess. I couldn't worship. I couldn't praise. I don't even know what was preached that day. And I left here. And I got in my car. And I wrestled with God. I wrestled with God until 10 o'clock that night. Going back and forth, not wanting to let it go. And when I parked my car, I said, God, you can have it. Because this is getting me nowhere. I'm fighting for something that you already have control over. And I surrendered that thing to the Lord, and I have never been more free. What in your character that God is trying to call you to die to? I'm going to tell you even right now, the altar is open. Come and do your dealings with the Lord. You know, that's an act of faith. That is called humbling yourself. When you can step out and say, God, I give this to you. I've gone through a journey where God has had to process me. Where I've dealt with obedience and not being able to surrender. I preached a message called Surrender to Obedience. And I was battling that day. I came in and God would not let me preach that word until I laid it on the altar. And in the middle of worship, I came and put my face down before God. That was my final battle. And I said, God, you can have it all.